Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game, we be MVP. Knowledge is power, lend an ear for the next hour, and tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. We the best, numero uno, we like a sumo. Up against the straw weight, our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the squared circle and all. You shanky on the mic, mixed with Jinder Mahal, and we some Paul Heymans. Had enough that you can say when. Until then, we gon' keep killing.
Three's Company, champs are back. Mr. Just Right behind the mic with me as always, my cohort, Len Biggs. Len, what's up?
Yes, sir. Week two in the books. Yeah. Some things have changed. Some things have stayed the same. And we'll talk about it all here in the living room.
That's right. And joining us, one of the EVPs and the best wrestling announcer in Tri-County area, ring announcer, Don Dawson. Donnie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. So we're, as Len, you alluded to, week two in the books. What really happened, Len, in week two? A lot of games. Let's recap the record, shall we?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Strong showing from me after a rough week one. I bounced back with a 13-3 record.
Oh, great record! Yeah, man,
shouldn't have went against those Steelers last night.
No,
would've been real strong. You finished 9-7. CM Nick came in at 10-6. That puts me one up on the season at 20-12. And
how quickly things change. Yeah. I mean, I thought I had a cushion for the whole season. I was going to last all year after week one.
And you come in at 19-13. What happened in 19-13, Len? Do you know?
The War of 1913.
That's right.
Man.
That's right. That's the year after the Titanic sank.
Exactly.
Yeah, the War of 1913. All right. Well, speaking of wars, Len.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a. Let's jump right into it, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's jump right into it. We got a little Thursday game here. A little bit above average, I would say. An old rivalry renewed. The New York Giants head out west, coast to coast, you might say, to visit the San Francisco 49ers at Candlestick Park. Remember these old games, Len? These were
A little Parcells, Bill Walsh, battling out a couple masterminds.
Classic.
Going at it.
Yep. So the Giants with a big comeback last week.
Unbelievable comeback. The Cardinals stink, but like the Giants looked so bad, down 60-0 after the first quarter, first six quarters of the season. And then all of a sudden, old Danny Dimes, came alive, baby.
Yep.
And the Giants are 1-1. They're fine.
Had them right where they want them. Yep. This is going to be an interesting game. So, Don Dawson, as tradition calls for, you get the first pick here. Giants at Niners.
I'm going to take the Niners in this game. I just think they're too much. I don't think that the Giants are really that good. So, yeah, I'm going to San Francisco.
All right. Donnie's got the Niners. Len, what about you?
Well, it seems as though the Giants going to be without Saquon Barkley for a couple weeks, sprained ankle, although Brian Daboll just today at his press conference did say they wouldn't rule him out yet. They're going to go all the way up to game time. But I just can't imagine he's going to play this game. I don't think the Giants are as bad as they were in week one. And I don't think they're like as good as they were in the second half of week two. They're just mid, probably. But the Niners are probably one of the two or three best teams in the league. So, especially, I'm assuming Barkley's not going to play in this game. So, I'm going Niners relatively easily.
Yeah, even if he does play, you got to think he's compromised. But they say he's going to be out 3 weeks. It'll be interesting to see how they fare without him. Tough break for him, too.
Better than Matt Breida behind him there. Right. I mean, that guy will get you 2 yards when you need three.
He's a former Niner, isn't he?
He is a former Niner. Yeah, he is.
Maybe it's a revenge game.
Revenge game. Big revenge game. Game for Breida.
Oh boy. All right. I'm gonna take the Niners too. We'll all go chalk on this one with the Niners at home. They are chugging right along and they appear to be a legit contender. All right. Colts at Ravens. I'm just gonna go ahead and stick with my Ravens here. I don't say my Ravens. I picked them to win in the division, but Richardson banged up with a concussion. Is he gonna play? Minshew's a suitable backup. I'm still taking the Ravens here at home. Len, who you got?
I mean, I'm going to take the Ravens as well. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure that the Colts don't have a better chance to win with Minshew than Richardson, although Richardson had those two touchdown runs before he got hurt. The injuries, again, both games he's left with an injury, so that is not really exciting if you're a Colts fan. You know, this is really scary a little bit. But Minshew, more than a capable backup, obviously. Spark plug kind of guy. He could keep you in this game. The Ravens have been pretty tough, but, you know, they haven't played a ton. I mean, they played the Bengals last week. The Bengals offense is just something weird's going on there. So I'm going to stick with the Ravens. I don't think the Colts have enough to win this game.
Donnie?
Three's company. I'm going to stick with the Ravens on this as well. Again, I just, you know, Minshew's good, serviceable. I just, yeah, I think the Ravens are too much.
All right. Now, this is an interesting one, Len. I went out on a limb and picked the Titans at home last week.
You did?
Yeah, I did. And I
good pick.
I got it right.
Good pick.
They visit Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Nick Chubbless Cleveland. What a just a gruesome. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see these.
I did, and it was, and it's sad because I was watching the game. It was an ugly game, but the one nice thing about the game at that point was Nick Chubb. I was texting the group with the Herdings and Jeremy and all them guys, and I was like, Chubb is unbelievable. He was just unstoppable. And then he got hurt, and then the game got even uglier than before, which is almost impossible because that game stunk. But yeah, so I don't know. The Browns, now Jerome Ford came in over 100 yards on 16 carries, caught a touchdown. So that's why they have him there. Also today, Kareem Hunt's in town visiting, so we might see a reunion of sorts with Hunt back to the Browns. He was always effective there, knows the offense, could be interesting. Now, as far as who I'm taking here, this is a tough one. I don't believe in the Titans much either. I just think the Chargers are frauds. But I also, you know, the Titans play everyone tough. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to go Cleveland here, actually. I don't really like this game either way, but I'm going to go Cleveland.
I'm going to go the Browns, too. Their defense was legit shutting down that high-powered Steelers offense.
They shut that offense down. That's hard to do.
That is very hard to do. I'm taking them at home there. Ford is a more than capable replacement. I think they can run the ball with whoever. Add Hunt in the mix. He slots right in there, knows that playbook. Yeah, they won't miss a beat there. I do think that defense is good. Donnie, who you got?
I think that I'm also going to go with you guys. I just think it's going to be too much.
It's just a game that's like, it's a coin flip game to me. I think both these teams are right in the middle of the pack. Could lose every week, could win every week. Not real exciting anyway. I will say, just as a tangent, I mean, everyone knows pre-sexual assault, I was a big Deshaun Watson guy, you know, one of my best favorite players of all time, and was one of the best players in the entire league now. And I can only assume this is karma, because there's really no reason at this point, after the whole offseason and everything, that he should be this bad at throwing the ball when he was so good previous to his indiscretions. So I'm just going to chalk it up to karma. I think maybe Watson's just going to be terrible now because he deserves it. I don't know, because before that, he was a very accurate passer and one of the best five quarterbacks in the league. Now he looks like he's in the bottom five, to be quite honest. So I don't know. It's weird. But I'd be worried if I was the Browns with that investment, obviously.
Yeah, I think that Steelers defense had him a little spooked.
Well, yeah, for sure. The Steelers defense is good. I'm sure that did pay a play. But he just, you know, even when someone plays a bad game or a good game, sometimes you can just tell when they look extremely like uncomfortable. And he just looks uncomfortable, like he's bringing his eyes down real quick off the first read. If he doesn't get that first read, he's just like scampering inside the pocket. And we'll talk about Russ a little bit later, and I feel the same way about him. They seem very frantic and not comfortable, even when there's not pressure, and even when there's just like a, you know, a bad situation. So anyway, yeah, I think the Browns, we'll see. It might have been the Steelers D, but it is not a good start for Watson, for sure.
When was his last real 2020?
Well, he played seven games last year. Right. So
full season 2020.
Yeah, but I mean, I gave him a pass for last year, thinking like, okay, you know, now he has this behind him. He has the full off season. I expected to see maybe not top five Watson, but top 10 maybe Watson. He doesn't look good.
No, he looked bad.
He just is off the mark on a lot of stuff, and he looks shaky.
Yeah, I don't know if it's karma or just still shaking off that rust, quite honestly. But he did make some good throws last night, and little flashes of the old.
Yeah, and he didn't get a lot of help. I mean, the first play, obviously, first play of the game is pick six. That's right off the tight end's hands. Now, the throw wasn't right on his body, But it hit him in both hands. You got to catch that ball if you're that tight end. Gets tipped, interception, pick six to start the game. You know, that makes his numbers look even worse. But I think you got to catch that ball. I mean, that's craziness too. So.
Yeah, that I wouldn't put that completely on him. That was just.
On that throw, like, it was a little inaccurate for no reason. That ball should have been right on him, and it wasn't. So.
Yep. Well. Cooper was banged up, but he held in there last night too.
Yeah, he played good for being banged up. He had some big plays.
Yeah, he did. Well, he's going against Levi Wallace, who hasn't stopped shit all year, so I won't give him too much credit there. All right, moving on. That's enough Deshaun Watson talk for sure. This is an interesting game here, boys. The Falcons at our LRC Lions. We lost a heartbreaker last week to your Seahawks, Len, in a very good game.
And the Falcons with a nice comeback win against the Packers, my Packers this year. Surprising comeback from the Falcons there. So, yeah, the Falcons have looked – they've surprised me to this point, I'll say.
Ritter's looked confident.
Yeah.
The run game, Bijan appears to be the real deal.
Yeah.
They got Algier they can mix in there as well.
Yeah, they surprised me. I thought they were dead to rights in that game. They were down like 12 or something. And Love had like 3 touchdowns, no picks. Next thing you know – Falcons come back, win that game.
Yeah.
Love did absolutely nothing down the stretch to try to put that game away. Couldn't make a play down the stretch. So, you know, that's some of the things of a first time starter. You get some of that game, some, you know, where they don't make all the plays they need. But, Falcons, Lions, I don't know. I'm going to go, Detroit here. Detroit played Seattle, obviously. So I saw a lot of that and, you know, paid close attention to it. Seattle's defense stinks. The Lions played pretty good offensively. Goff picked off for the first time in like 380 throws, which is like the third longest streak of all time. And it was a pick six. Put Seattle up 10 points with 8 minutes to go. They proceeded to hand that right back and get into overtime, but they do pull it off. But Detroit lost Montgomery probably for a couple weeks with thigh bruise, they're saying. That could be a positive, though. Maybe you see a little bit more Jahmyr Gibbs, which people have been calling for. You know, Detroit, I still think Detroit's decent, and I think they're better than Atlanta, even though Atlanta is 2-0.
I'm taking the Lions here, too. Donnie, who you got?
I'm taking Detroit as well.
All right. We have not picked a single game differently. I suspect the next one we may. That Lions game, though, Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm anxious to see more of him. I do think he looks like the real deal.
Goff looks good.
Goff's played well, yeah. He like I said, he threw that pick six there against Seattle. But other than that, he played a pretty good game still.
I'm just a big Jared Goff guy.
Yeah, we kind of are a Goff pod. We're a pro Goff pod.
Yeah, I think he's very funny. I think he's got a lot of personality.
Yeah.
He's in that Manning cast audition commercial, dropping some funnies there.
Yeah.
He took a team to a Super Bowl. Let us absolutely not forget, you know, Jared
absolutely.
Goff. He could be in line for a nice little contract after this year. I think
he's doing well for himself, I believe.
The better the deal, I think. Zach, you have to be prudent.
Stafford won him a Super Bowl, so he accomplished what that was the whole goal. So nothing matters from now on.
And he looks
good this year again.
Good,
But either way, once you won the Super Bowl, that was the only thing. You can't beat that unless Goff wins Detroit a Super Bowl. Then we'll have this conversation again.
When? All right. Saints at Lambeau.
This is a big game here. Yeah, these are two of the teams. I picked both these teams to win a division, Saints and the Packers to win their division in our preseason show. So this game has a lot of interest to me. Saints won last night against the Panthers in an ugly, ugly game. I mean, it was real. It might have been uglier than Pittsburgh-Cleveland, if that's possible. I don't know. It was so gross, both games. But I'm taking Green Bay here. They're at home. They lost a tough one this last week without Aaron Jones. I kind of think Jones will be back this week, too, which would help their offense a ton, obviously. So I'm not sure. Also, Christian Watson should be coming back, I would assume, at some point here. So they're going to start getting weapons back. And when they do, I think Green Bay is going to hit. And I just think they're going to beat who are we playing? Saints.
Their Saints are out of their element there, out of the dome in that Lambeau Field environment. Donnie, who you got in this one?
Well, I was going to say Green Bay, but just because everybody's saying, I'm just going to go with the Saints. Why not?
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, you know what?
Bonnie's probably gonna get Saints, or Mike's probably gonna get Saints too. I don't know.
I am not. I'm gonna go Green Bay in this one. Actually, I'm concerned the Saints. They still won't have Kamara. Jamal Williams is banged up. There was a good chance for him. If he was in it, I would have maybe taken the Saints. Their offense did not look too inspiring last year.
No,
at all.
And still too many snaps at quarterback for Taysom Hill. I don't understand why they're still doing this. Honestly, he's a solid runner of the ball. He's a fine tight end. You can use him a lot of ways. He is a good football player, honestly. Like, he's a good tight end, and you can hand the ball to him and stuff. They give him, like, I don't care, one or two times a game you bring him in, try something. It's ridiculous. He was in there so much. It's like, you got a new quarterback. He's just getting into that system.
Is he going through quarterback schemes?
No, a lot of runs, but he does. Yeah, he runs regular offensive plays too. But I think, you know, Carr's just getting there. Like, you got to let him know this is his job and, like, get him in a groove.
Yep.
You got Taysom Hill coming in one every five or six snaps. It's weird as hell. So, yeah, New Orleans is – but I still think they're a really solid team. You're right about the Williams injury being a little concerning, but I think Green Bay wins this game based on that stuff.
So you and I got the Packers. Donnie's going the Saints here to change it up. All right, this one, Houston at Jacksonville. C.J. Stroud showed us some pretty good.
Shouts look good both weeks, honestly. Yeah. I mean, a lot of those yards are in garbage time whatever, but he has played fine. I mean, you have to give him this credit. He's played good. I'm a big Stroud guy. I think he'll be the best quarterback out of this draft. I'm sticking with that. But I think they're going to lose to Jacksonville here. Jacksonville lost a tough one at Kansas City, and I watched saw a lot of that in the red zone too. And I'll tell you, obviously, I'm a huge Lawrence guy. He was off his game this weekend. They had, I think they had 8 or 10 snaps inside the 10 to try to get to where you could get a 2-point conversion to tie that game when they're down 8. And 4 or 5 throws were just off bad where he could have, like, they could have been touchdowns. So I thought Lawrence didn't play well this week, but I think he'll bounce back here and beat Houston.
Chris Jones was back. He was affecting the play, no doubt about it. I'm going to take the Jags too. Donnie, you agree?
I agree. Jacksonville, I think Lawrence is, he's coming on to his own too. He's playing really well. Well, didn't play good last week, but I think, yeah.
Broncos head down to South Florida to visit the Dolphins in this one. Lost the heartbreaker after the Hail Mary, couldn't convert on the 2-point conversion to get the game back within reach there. They visit the Dolphins, who are just red hot, as will the weather be down there in Miami. I'm taking the Dolphins in this one. Do either of you guys disagree with that? And
No, I'm taking the Dolphins. The Broncos, I've given a couple chances. You know, obviously, I have a place in my heart for Russ. I always will. And I don't know what's going on, but I'm not sure he's going to come back from it. I was sure he was going to be back. I was sure he was going to be back this year to more like his form. In the first half of that game, he had 6 out of 8, including 3 touchdowns, 2 big bombs. Vintage Russ. Vintage Russ. Then for the second consecutive week, I text with the Funkhouse boys. Last week I text Russ is back at the first half, after the first half. Then this week, House tech to me, Russ is back at halftime both weeks. And guess what? No, he's not back. He was fucking terrible in the second half of both those games, and they should have won both those games. They lost. And Russ, I know how he plays, and he used to be able to get out the back door of the pressure. He always turtled up early before he needed to when the pass rush wasn't really there, but he could get out the backside and make big plays down the field. He can't get out the backside now. When he does do that, sack every time. So it's just, it's completely changed his game and his ability. And I didn't think it was going to be that bad, and it really has been a huge difference. So I'm thinking Russ might be on his last legs. It's crazy to say, but I'm a little worried about him being in there.
Honestly, the Peyton Wilson relationship is going to be one to keep an eye on. Yeah, it seems like a conflict of personalities.
I thought early in the off season on all the morning shows, you know, I watched First Take, all that nonsense. There were several times where they said, like, Russ might be benched by week 3, week 4. And I was like, there's no fucking way. Like, he can't be as bad as he was last year. And I believed in Peyton, but, you know, our boy Jeremy sent me a text today with Peyton's career record and Mike McCarthy's career record. And fucking McCarthy is better than Peyton. And these people talk like Peyton's like some offensive genius.
Drew Brees carried him.
And they fucking gave him the Katrina Super Bowl, obviously. That was the year they won the Super Bowl. So that's like, not, you can't even count him for winning that. I think the NFL scripted that one. And then, but yeah, you got freaking, McCarthy, who everyone just bashes, says he's a terrible offensive mind, and then Peyton's the savior, and it's honestly Peyton's worst. It's surprising. When he sent me that, I was surprised. I was like, that makes, because I always kind of just bought the hype. I thought Peyton was a pretty good coach, and I thought him and Russ together would be good. He'd be like a kind of a Breeze, but even though I know he doesn't throw on time like Breeze, he just doesn't. But I figured I thought they'd figure it out. I don't think they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, you know what? Russ always kind
Miami's of Miami's going to win this game. Yeah,
he always lived off of the the chalk it up, just incredible, well, just out of nowhere throws. And once that disappears,
his athleticism is what got him those throws, though. That's the thing. Like he still can throw a great deep ball. Like, you know, he can throw a great deep ball. Yeah. Always. The arms there, he threw, yeah, two of them this week. But a lot of those came off scramble plays where he's outside the pocket, and then he had Lockett, who he had such great chemistry with, coming back to him all the time. I mean, just they were perfect sync, him and Lockett. That was huge as well. And I don't think he can get out of the pocket now. And that's going to end his career in a bad way, I think, down the stretch here.
Yeah, I can just see him and Peyton kind of grinding each other's gears if this continues.
I agree.
We'll see. All right, next one, an interesting one. Chargers, just another close loss last weekend. They visit the Vikings there in the Hubert H. Humphrey Metro.
Yeah, if you just want to see a good end of a game that's going to come down to like the last play, if you just put it on CBS about 7:15 every single week, if the Chargers are on, you can guarantee that game's going to come down to like the last drive every time. And probably 8 out of 10 times the Chargers are going to fuck it up somehow. Like, Staley's a joke, obviously. Herbert is, you know, I came out saying I thought Herbert would be a bust when coming out in the draft. I was wrong about that. Herbert's very good, but he's got to do something to win some games here. You know what I mean? They lose a lot of close games, and that ultimately is going to land on the quarterback's lap. You know what I mean? If you're losing a ton of late games where you have the ball in your hands. So I don't know. The team's loaded. I mean, the Chargers are loaded with talent. You know what I mean? And so now the Vikings 0-2, surprising as well. Again, they'll probably lose by like one score every week too, but they're down like four scores, and then they just get to within one score or something when they lose. So this is both these teams need this game very badly. Absolutely. I mean, so I'm going to go with LA. I'm going to go with the Chargers. But again, this is a coin flip for me.
I'm going to take the Vikings in this one actually at home. Donnie, you got?
I'm taking Vikings at home as well.
All right. Now, how much it costs to get in the door at Hubert H. this weekend, boys?
Well, what is it? It's probably $48.
A little bit low there, Donnie.
All right, $63.
Wow, close, Donnie. $65 will get you in the door at Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome, 1965, is also the first year Hubert H. Humphrey served as the 38th Vice President of the United States.
So, all right, good news.
Go Vikings.
That all adds up to a Vikings victory.
Yeah, makes me want to change my pick now after that Herbert H. Humphrey stat.
Well, there you go. I know my Vice President's land. All right, Patriots at the Jets. Zach Wilson looked a little bit better.
Three picks in that game, though.
And the Patriots did not look good. 2 weeks in a row.
You know, the Patriots gave the Eagles everything they could handle week one. Yeah, they came back. Right. But I'm saying they did. They played okay in week one. Mac Jones looked pretty good against the Eagles, especially after the slow start. The Eagles jumped on them. And the Patriots gave them a game. Well, the Jets are, you know, what are you going to get from Zach Wilson? I mean, that's the whole thing. So where's it at again? New York, New England?
New York.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to take the Jets because they're at home here, but I don't feel good about it.
All right. I'm going to take the Pats. Donnie, who you got?
I feel good about the Jets, actually. I think that there's inspiration with no Rodgers there now. Somehow, I think they're going to build on that.
Brees Hall only 4 carries this week. Yeah. He ain't happy, and he shouldn't be. I don't know.
That's going
to
change.
That running, Wilson, you know he is limited. You have to. Why aren't they pounding Cook and Hall? They should be pounding those two.
Cook had a costly fumble. So
He did. But I'm still saying you got to. I mean, those two guys. If you want to take the ball out of Wilson's hands, that's where you can try to run more of a ball control offense there. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm going Jets because they're at home, but I don't love it.
Yeah, Zach Wilson, I mean, he had the interceptions, but I think that team is behind him. I think Garrett Wilson believes in him. I think he's done chasing tail. You can see a little bit more maturity.
No, I think Wilson's still got a chance for sure. He's just a little sloppy still with some of those throws, gunslinger-ish. He don't have it down yet, but he still tries it.
Expecting to play this year.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So that's what I'm saying.
The most of this.
I think that he's going to improve as the year goes along. I do think that.
Bills at Hogs at FedEx.
2-0 Red Hogs, baby. Mm-hmm. My boy, Sam Howell, looking good. Mm-hmm. Me and Ricky the Fink, we've been texting about it. It's, 2-0, pretty fraudulent 2-0, I'm not going to lie. You know, they played the Cardinals and Broncos, so it's not great. Even Ricky admits that. The Bills coming to town. Bills, you know, obviously lost the 1 week one, all the Allen turnovers. They smashed the Raiders week two, probably closer to what this team is. I think they're gonna beat Washington. I'll take Buffalo.
I'm taking the Bills too, Donnie.
I'm also taking Buffalo.
All right. Okay. The Hogs are going down in this one, but good start to the season for them. And
Howell looks good. Howell looks like a good quarterback, I think.
All right here, boys. Carolina.
Bonnie, don't you think Sam Howell looks like a good quarterback? Don't shake your head. There's just something to say about Sam Howell.
Say it. Chest, man. He's like one of the plain white quarterback. Ty Detmer. Ty Detmer, Coy Detmer.
I'm not sure how well he's going to age, to be honest with you.
I mean, we'll see. Yeah, the guy's played a couple games. I'm not saying he's the savior, but he looks like a pretty decent NFL quarterback, like somebody that can play right now through 2 games against 2 bad teams. That's all I'm saying. I mean, there's still a lot to prove, but I'm behind Howell. I think he can play. He reminds me more of like a, honestly, sort of like a Minshew or a Fitzpatrick, like kind of guy that's just like moxie. You know, he's like going to play. He's going to give you a chance, I think. That's what he reminds
me
of.
Ryan Hoyer.
Yeah, even Hoyer. Hoyer's a good one. Hoyer's not a bad pro. He's a pro.
Yeah, he's a pro, all right. Yeah, second year pro, to be specific there. Mm-hmm. All right, Panthers at your Seahawks. 12 men strong there at the Lumen Field.
I didn't take Seattle last week, so they won. Obviously, I took the Lions, and I'll be quite frank. Seattle is terrible. They look terrible on defense still. I mean, there's no progress at all. Offensively, they played good, and Geno was really good, and they win it in overtime. Fortunately, they were at a 10-point lead with 8 minutes to go. Unceremoniously handed that right back to him. Geno ran backwards 20 yards and got sacked at the 2 for some random reason. And then they hit Tyler Lockett, the heart and soul of the Seattle Seahawks franchise, in my opinion. Tyler Lockett is just the best Seahawk, one of the best Seahawks ever. I love him so much. He comes up big all the time. Up there with Largent. I mean, Largent's obviously an all-time legend, but Lockett is like someone I'll always love forever. I mean, he just is so integral to the Seahawks.
I mean, in your mind.
Largent was my favorite. I mean, Largent's why I'm a Seahawks fan for sure. So, but Lockett, he's just up there, man. Just one of my favorite Seahawks. And he pulls it out for them. They got the rookie quarterback, Carolina, at home. If their defense can't do something here, I'm going to be very concerned if Bryce Young who has not really been able to move the ball much. If he's able to move the ball in Seattle this week, then I'll know this defense has zero chance to compete in the league. This is the opportunity, like young quarterback in there, rookie, make his third start in the 12th, blah, blah, blah. Come on, Seattle. This is a game you should put away and put away early, but they probably won't. But I'm going to take Seattle.
Yeah, Donnie, you got...
for every reason Len just said, I'm going to take Seattle.
All right, I'm going to take the Seahawks too. The Panthers just they're treating Love with kid gloves. The training wheels are firmly on. I don't see him coming off anytime soon. He did get some of his receivers back last week, but they just seem kind of hesitant to want to move.
Yeah, their offense is going to be a real slog this year. I mean, I like the Thielen signing and that stuff is like okay, but Thielen's like not going to move the needle at this point. He's like a guy that you know, possession guy. But like, yeah, Bryce Young is, they're going to be safe with him. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. I'd rather them be safe with him than what the Colts are doing. Just Richardson just running all over, getting some hurt every week. I'd rather do the conservative approach to that. So
now I do like Carolina's defense though.
Yeah.
They
lost Shaq Thompson for the year, broken leg.
Oof.
That stinks. Yeah. Good big time player. But yeah, they do have a good defense.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how that progresses there. Reich is, to me, too smart of a guy to play it that cool all year long with their first overall pick. We'll see. Be interesting to see how that Carolina situation develops. Because you got to take the training wheels off.
Oh, yeah. I think as the season goes along, he'll get more and more leash for sure.
Yeah, he's a very mature guy. Calm, cool, collected.
Yeah, he hasn't played bad by any means in these games. He's just
neutered.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, looks like offensive coordinator I know. All right, Cowboys off to a strong start. They visit the plucky Arizona Cardinals, I'll call them. They were in a couple games that probably they shouldn't have been. They coughed up a big lead last week. Cowboys defense is very good. Their offense is very competent. Mike McCarthy is a very good football coach, and they're going to go into the Red Sea and come away with a victory and be 3-0. Anyone disagree on that?
No disagreement here. The Cowboys look great. Micah Parsons looks like the best player in NFL right now, pretty much. I don't know if he did. I didn't see him injury, but
he was a little banged up, but I think he's fine.
Yeah. But again, the question has to be asked, Mike. Again, the question, Josh Dobbs, would he be better to keep him instead of draft Pickett, or Josh Dobbs, pretty solid player. Again, he has the big lead, and then they blow it.
No, you could have Joe Montana in his prime.
I'll tell you what, I saw James Conner a little bit in that first half. He looked good still.
Yeah. Conner's a good player, I tell you what.
He is a good player. He plays hard.
I'd rather have him than have spent a first-round pick on Najee Harris.
He's been much better, for sure.
Yep. All right. Bears, 0-2. Visiting the Chiefs 2-0. Anybody taking the
Chiefs
Bears?
Chiefs are 1-1, but
Chiefs are 1-1. I'm sorry, yeah.
But no, I'm not taking the Bears. Fields looks like he has regressed actually from last year. It looks scary for Fields as a passer. It just has not shown that he can do anything at this point as a passer. So I'd be worried a little bit if I was Chicago. For long term, I mean. But this game is no, the Chiefs are gonna smash this team.
Yep.
Chiefs.
Yep, Chiefs at home. Sunday night, Faith Hill brings us to Faith Hill.
Carrie Underwood.
Oh, Carrie Underwood.
Whatever. Carrie Underwood, man.
Whatever.
I've been waiting all day for Sunday night. It's the best theme song in football. We've been having this discussion in a text thread because they debuted the new Monday Night Football one last night with Chris Stapleton, little Snoop Dogg.
What?
So you guys need to get a listen to that.
A little Phil Collins.
Yeah, right? A little Air of the Night. Yeah, a little Air of the Night cover. But it just doesn't beat. I've been waiting all day for Sunday night, man. The Finns and the Pats in a division fight. I mean, it's great. Freaking, I love Carrie Underwood's performance. And I love waiting all day for Sunday night. And then I usually just play NBA 2K and don't even watch the Sunday night game generally. But I wait for that song and then I'm good.
I'll tell you what, the song itself, whatever. Hank did that originally, the play on words with the ditty.
Of course, yeah.
You know, the little play outs they do, like at halftime, the little play on the theme song.
Oh,
just the little musical interlude they do. That's what really gets – it just kind of puts me at ease. I don't know what it is about.
Well, the other
Carrie Underwood. Sorry, not
Carrie Underwood. Speaking of that network, though, NBC, I love Collinsworth. I know a lot of people hate Collinsworth, but Collinsworth I love, and I like that booth. But that studio is – a disaster. Jason Garrett, one of the worst people that's ever been on TV, in my opinion. awful. Dungy, get out of here. I think that studio show is atrocious. I'll just say that.
It could be so much better.
Yeah.
They have a nice spot there.
Yeah, they should have a good one.
Berman
and Tom Jackson are washed. No, we're not
no,
going.
No, no, but that,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Tom Jackson's dead, isn't he, or no?
I don't know. Is that true? He might be. Berman's not. Berman's alive for sure. But either way. No, Tom Jackson's not dead. They just did it like last year.
Yeah, he had the nice hour long after recap everything. I mean, that's what you need. And that's supposed to be what that show is, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not good. You want something akin to TNT, NBA on TNT, like that show. Like Barkley, Smith, Shaq, Kenny. That's like the best studio show in television. You should be trying to get something like that with some personalities, some fun. That's why I like the Amazon's pre-show better. It's got Sherman and Rip Fitzpatrick. Got a little bit more personality.
Good news, guys. Tom Jackson, very much alive.
From?
The U.
No, where's he from, guys? Tom Jackson from?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, my God. You guys don't know this from Berman and him doing it together? From Louisville. Tom, he always would say Tom Jackson from Louisville. He's from Louisville, man.
Yeah, right.
Holy shit, guys.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now and it's saying he's born in Cleveland.
He's from Louisville, the University of Louisville. Louisville University.
Oh, his middle name is Louis.
Well, he's from Louisville.
Well, that's why he went there, then.
Yeah.
He said that's.
But I mean, I'd say Berman's only said from, and he said Louisville, like probably only said that 5 million times on ESPN, I would say, generously.
I must have missed that.
Every 5 million?
Born in Cleveland, Ohio.
Born in Cleveland. I didn't know that.
College, Louisville, middle name, Louis. There you go.
Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, Tom Jackson. Good player and a good studio guy.
Well, that's why I said the U. Said Louisville.
Yeah, the U of Louisville.
All right. Well, we learn something new every day here.
That's what we're here for, inform.
Sunday night game, anyways.
Who was it again? We got on a tangent there.
Yeah, we got the Stairway visiting Vegas.
Sunday night?
Yes.
Oh, buddy. Prime
time. You get them again.
Yeah, let's see it. Talk about exciting. Right. These two offenses have been just lighting the world on fire.
I mean, yeah, this has potential to be another highly entertaining affair.
Yeah.
Steelers just have a tough time beating the Raiders, it seems like. I don't think the defense bails them out. Again, I'm taking the Raiders at home here.
Yeah, the Raiders always seem to beat the Steelers. I don't know if that's true, but it seems like it is in my head. So I'm just going to take the Raiders. They played terrible against Buffalo. Played pretty good week one against Denver. The Steelers got the win last night. We should probably talk about that in a minute. I know are you doing Stairway again this week?
Yeah, but we can talk about it.
But yeah, the Steelers got the win. Obviously, two defensive touchdowns, the big play at the end, Watkins touchdown. We've talked about it. They have some serious things they need to address offensively. I mean, their offense looks as pedestrian as any team in the league. The big play to Pickens, but I mean, that's just a broken play, basically, defensively. And then Freiermuth, 1 catch, 2 yards. Allen Robinson, 2 catches, 12 yards. I mean, these guys, Naj, what, 10 for 33 or something like that. Even Warren was like 9 for 30. It's like he had a couple of catches. He had 64 receiving, which was nice, but this offense looks bad. I don't know why Broderick Jones isn't in there. There's no explanation why.
Your stripes, man. You gotta wait.
Yeah, well, and they did. I did. Porter made a couple plays in this game because they let him play finally, and they got to get him. And I think maybe you got to see some Darnell Washington too. Let's see what he can do. I mean, the guy,
he's out there blocking.
Yeah, but get him down the field for some plays.
We need everyone blocking it. We can.
That could be true.
We get taken off.
That could get true. But yeah, I mean, what'd you think about the game last night? Obviously, it's ugly, but
I mean, honestly, I'm Matt Canada just has to go. You have to try something else. You got to figure out if it's him or if it's Kenny.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? 19 points in 2 games combined from the offense. Defense outscores them. They go into the fourth quarter trailing. They come out of the fourth quarter negative yards.
Negative yards.
And the defense bails them out.
Yeah.
Just ugly. The play calling ugly. The execution terrible. Jalen Warren is the only one with some kind of pulse out. Like you said, the
Pickens play, obviously.
A broken. I mean, he's.
But he's the guy. You got to get the ball in his hands for sure.
Yeah, but he's not a game breaker yet at this point, I don't think, in his career. He needs to.
We don't have the consistency yet. No, for sure.
Neither does Kenny. That offensive line has not gelled yet, and it doesn't look close. Why they're not playing Broderick more, I'm not sure. They just have this weird fetish with some guys. Just either he's not showing up in practice or something, because Porter finally got some reps, made two huge plays.
Big plays, yeah.
Honestly, including the one to win the game last night. Darnell's playing a lot there, the big tight end, but he's mostly blocking. It's just putrid. It's honestly, and it's typical Steelers where you just have a world-beating defense, and all the offense really has to be is somewhat – reasonable, somewhat average, confident, average even, and they'd be in contention. But I can't, in good faith, take them on the road. And I'm just kind of getting tired of Tomlinisms.
he did come out today, I believe, and said something calling out their offense and saying that it.
He did, but he just talks. He's like, he talks in those Tomlinisms. Yeah. He's just like Pete Carroll. It's just a bunch of bullshit. Him and Carroll, the same exact guy. They're just talking all these like things, trying to confuse the people. It's all bullshit. Just say the offense stinks. We got to change it. Yeah. Whatever. Like, I understand like not wanting to fire offensive coordinator after week two. I do understand that. It's like a big move. What are you going to do? Who are you going to promote? What's this guy behind him? I don't know who their QB coach is or anything like that. But the next guy's got to be competent and ready to go if you're going to fire your OC after week two. You know what I mean? So I think he's terrible for sure, but I'm not sure you can fire him. You just need to tell him, like, let's open this up. Let's do something. You know what I mean? Like, this is not it, whatever we're doing here. These coordinators have to have more than one way to play offense. You know what I mean? Like, if this conservative approach they've had right now is not working, you got to do something different. You know what I mean?
What was Tomlin in Minnesota?
He was defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's always been D-backs coach, defensive coordinator. Yeah. You know, he played wide receiver, though, right? In college. I think he played wide receiver in college, if I'm not mistaken.
He might have, but he was always...
He's always been secondary.
Secondary coach, yeah. It's obviously... I don't think it's Tomlin's call. Obviously, any type of that decision would have to come down from...
Oh, right, but I mean...
Part to second
there. Tomlin's got a lot of pull. You know, I mean, at this point, they're probably in lockstep. If he wanted him gone... And he'd be gone.
Like I said, even if they did fire him, which they absolutely can, I don't think that's an excuse. They probably won't. They're B. Rye from the Stairway mentioned they're just kind of immune to making those moves in season.
Right. Most teams are really too.
If they did, it would probably be Mike Sullivan, the quarterback's coach, not the Penguins head coach coming in.
Okay.
Or they'd go across the hallway.
Maybe if they got the Penguins head coach in there, I mean, that might help the offense. So just open it up a little bit, right?
He's questionable himself. They would probably go across the hallway and hire Frank.
I bet Cignetti. Ken Hitchcock could run a good NFL offense.
Mike Babcock, I heard. They would probably hire Cignetti Jr. and just run the ball. That thought of that probably going through Rooney's head right now is scary because two just horrible offenses for the football teams in that building right now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's anyone in there who knows how to call a good offense.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Pitt's offense is just as embarrassing, if not more so, than the Steelers.
Right.
Things got to change quick because, like I said, you got to figure it out with Kenny soon. I'm picking Raiders. Don, did you pick the Raiders too?
I did pick them.
Okay. All right.
That'll be a Steelers win. We're all going against them. They're going to win that stupid game.
Yep. It worked for me last week. Let's see this week. They always play the Raiders. It feels like every year. Now the Seahawks are on their – see, Tomlin must have got together with Carroll and said, we got to get this game on the schedule every year. Why are they playing the Seahawks
It is weird they're playing them again this year for sure. The schedule's set up so it's like – you know, everyone's like the same so many years. But there's like a few games that are – outside of that algorithm completely, and that's how they must slay it in, you know what I mean? But going to Seattle this year, big game up there in the Pacific Northwest.
Tomlin and Carroll got together and at the coaches meet summit or something like that, and they must have decided to have this as an every year thing now. But that's what last week of the year.
I mean, the players always go between those two teams, always historically. There's been a bunch of players between the teams. They just seem to be like mirror images.
How's Devin Bush doing this year?
He played okay the first game. I think he had, I don't know, four or five tackles. He's like a not every down linebacker. And then this last week he was on the injury list. I don't know if he played or not, to be honest. But he's not starting. He's just like, he's a sub linebacker pretty much.
Okay, here's two 2-0 teams, a surprising Buccaneers playing host to Philly. This could be an interesting game in that Tampa Bay Heat. I got to take the Eagles, though. This is one of two Monday night games. We get another doubleheader next week.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Eagles. They look tough.
Donnie, you're Eagles, buddy. What do you think? Yep.
I'm happy they're 2-0, but it's not a convincing 2-0. So it is going to be a tough game. I'm not sure of the play calling of Sirianni right now. Just some crazy calling. Well, whoever the OC is, Johnson, Brian Johnson. So I don't know what they're doing. They don't look the same as last year. Their defense does definitely not look the same. But I would definitely take Philadelphia. But it's good. I think it's gonna be a closer game than people may think.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
I mean,
I'm not sure about Baker Mayfield, but hey, look, he's.
I'll tell you what, Tampa, you know, has played. They like they're deserving 2-0. They play. They're playing well. I mean. They do have a lot of talent on that team. You know, people like we kind of just wrote them off, but I mean, Godwin and Evans are like legit, if they're healthy, like really, really good receivers. And then they have a good offensive line. They have like Shaq Lawson. They still have like a good D line and all that. Shaq Barrett, whoever's there. They have all those guys. Like they still have a pretty talented team. We just weren't sure about Baker, but Baker's playing like he did the 1 year in Cleveland where they when they went to the playoffs. Like he's if he plays like that, this team's legit. I agree the Eagles haven't been like, you know, prime Eagles yet. So that's a little bit concerning. But I think the Eagles will win this game still. But I do think it's gonna be a good game, yeah.
DeAndre Swift looked really good.
Swift looked awesome, yeah.
Yeah, let's see if he can keep that up. They're gonna be tough to stop. You gotta think the Eagles come. They're missing Javon Hargrave, I think, quite a bit.
Although I'll tell you that Jalen Carter looks amazing. He looks legit.
Yeah, the other Georgia rookie got hurt. So
N'Kobe Dean's out. But Jalen Carter, he looks legit.
Yeah, third in the league in quarterback pressures, I believe. So, yeah, he seems to be legit. He's just got to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, that seems like a one. I mean, really, that one issue, it's kind of behind him now. I think he got community service, whatever. So, hopefully – that, you know, he's not into a bunch of other stuff. We'll see.
Let's hope not.
But he's a good player.
Yeah, they picked up a couple middle linebackers, too. Can't remember his name now, but they lost a couple middle linebackers, right?
They had some turnover on that defense.
They brought in some names. Vontae Maddox, I think, is out for a while, though.
That might be season-ending.
Yeah, that's a decent loss for their secondary. Rams, the surprisingly
feisty Rams. Yeah. They gave the Niners everything they could handle there for the three quarters. They were right there with them. Puka Nacua looks like the best receiver in the league, maybe at this point. He's setting all kinds of records through first two career games. Who the Rams play? I don't even know. They're let it finish.
Cincinnati, where Joe Burrow is in question.
At Cincinnati. Cincinnati looked better in the second half. Finally, last week, T. Higgins with 2 touchdown catches. Burrow doesn't look himself.
Fuck Joe Burrow.
He doesn't look himself, looks like he maybe tweaked his injury a little bit this week. He even said it, I think. You know, Chase and Higgins have not been able to get going here. The defense obviously lost both safeties, so you knew there was going to be some transition there. The defense not nearly as good this year, but the offense is the concern. I think it will improve. It's got to. But I'm worried about Burrow's health. But I do think they beat the Rams here. They need to get a win. But I'll tell you what, the Rams are no pushover this year. Like people were thought they were going to be, including me. They aren't. They're going to be tough. But I'll take the Bengals.
I'm going to take the Rams in this one. I'm going to be rooting for them against the AFC North opponent. I tell you what, those calf injuries do not lead to good things.
You're right.
They often lead to much worse injuries. And Joe Burrow is in question. And I'm not sure if he plays, he might have a trouble finishing this game. So I'm going to be rooting for the Rams, so I'm going to take the Rams. Len, you got the Bengals. Yep. Johnny, round us out.
I'm going to take the Rams, but in news, I don't know if you guys are aware that Cam Akers is most likely going to be traded. I saw.
Wow.
I did see that. Yeah, they're working on a trade for him. Yeah.
That's it. He needs to be out of here.
Yeah, so Akers is going to – I mean,
behind Williams. Was Kyren Williams?
Kyren Williams, yeah.
Whoever's behind him now needs to obviously step up because
– Yeah, I don't know about – Akers just has not been good. I mean, that
feels like they've been trying to get rid of him since last year.
The season last year was good. If you had looked back,
yeah, he's had some spurts. Games. He's had a couple spurts where he had a good parts of seasons, But I just maybe don't believe it.
It doesn't seem like he either he doesn't want to be on the team or they don't want him there or something.
Yeah. So there's going to be probably some running back movement this week with the injuries. You know what I mean? So you could see this is a week you could maybe see him get moved. Maybe Jonathan Taylor, I don't think, but, you know, ooh, possibly Jonathan Taylor get moved. You know, stuff like that with these injuries, you know, to the running backs this week.
Yeah. There's some good free agents out there, isn't there?
Well, Kareem Hunt, I think, is a really good free agent. He's still out there.
Three or four.
And, yeah, I mean, running backs, you can find some running backs.
Are all these injuries fake is the real question. Are they faking these injuries?
No, I don't think so. But they might be to try to – you think, well, they're trying to get leverage to make more money. I don't know about faking the injuries.
That's what the leagues accuse the Players Association of having them ham up their injuries. Didn't you see that on the crawl all Sunday?
Well, I don't – I don't know how that would benefit them, though, because then it just shows they're injury prone. Why would you pay them that?
I don't get it either, but they were showing that all day. It must have been some NFL propaganda or something.
I like a good conspiracy. I mean, not really. I hate them, but I do.
I do too, Donnie.
I think that conspiracies are terrible. That's but
great. They're great.
You wouldn't do a podcast?
That one.
I would. I would love.
Two Chain's a big conspiracy guy, too. You guys got a real nice. You guys are
real nice. I single-handedly kicked off the Bigfoot frenzy here in the Tri-County area with a hoax. And you can still find that on BigfootEncounters.com. Parker Dam, look it up. The story's still there. 20-some years later.
I swear I see the Bigfoot.
Me too.
All right. Well, you guys, whatever you think. What do we? Is that the whole schedule?
Donnie, who'd you take?
Rams.
Rams. I took Bengals. I'm the only Bengals.
Fuck Joe Burrow.
Yeah. So that's weak.
Terrible fantasy pick. Sorry.
Burrow's been terrible. But he's. I mean, he's either going to be out. Like he's either going to be out, or this injury's serious, or he's going to be better. One of the two.
Guarantee him like $200 million.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, what are you going to do? Not pay Joe Burrow and just be like, well, we'll see what we get next time. Yeah, now he's been in the fucking Super Bowl. He's been in the league like 3 years. He's been to the Super Bowl once in the AFC title. I mean, I don't know. You can't just not pay him. You have to pay him.
You can find it Josh Dobbs anywhere.
You can find it Josh Dobbs anywhere. That's true. The Steelers. Let one slip right through their fingers.
There's Trent Dilfers out there. There's Trent Dilfers out there.
Yeah, there's QBs out there, but I mean, there's not Joe Burrows out there.
You head coach of University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Birmingham, that's right. Dragons, baby.
Wow.
Yeah. Blazers, QB Blazers.
Is it the Blazers or the Dragons?
Blazers, but the mascot's a dragon.
Okay.
UAB Blazers, but the mascot's fire breathing dragon. Yeah. Yeah, so that's it, right? That's it. We can talk some wrestling. Should we talk some wrestling? Yeah, big things happening.
Oh, man.
Big the Friday.
Biggest, the biggest.
I mean, that's probably one of the biggest Fridays on SmackDown. Just a huge start to Friday Night SmackDown. Pat McAfee comes strutting out there to his song, and everyone's fired up.
Great entrance.
Black tank top. We'll keep that note.
Black tank top. He's come out there. That's his customary wear. And, you know, earlier on Friday, he had The Rock on his talk show, and they talked, and they, you know, talked, reminisced about what happened last WrestleMania, why he didn't do the WrestleMania last year. That came out. That was kind of newsworthy. Like, The Rock said they had something planned, then it didn't go through, blah, blah, blah. So that's that. But then, no one's expecting Friday night The Rock to show up.
Let me go back. You're sure you don't want that ticket for WrestleMania 40?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to wait till we get closer too, maybe. But I'll say this. The Rock showing up was surprising to me. I mean, I didn't realize they were in Denver till like SmackDown started. But like when they're being in Boulder, it makes sense that McAfee would show up. But The Rock.
High as a kite, too. Pretty thick cat.
Yeah, he admitted
it. He loved it.
And
always taking care of the. Or respecting the local laws.
Yeah. And The Rock comes out, of course, thunderous ovation. What a cool moment that was. I thought a good moment for Austin Theory, in my opinion. He really held his own in there.
Black tank top.
Yeah, black tank top. And he really held his own in there. And that's big to me. There's got to be, you know, he really hasn't caught on yet. But he's a star in the making, for sure.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they've been working. They put him in all these situations, so they obviously trust him.
The rub.
But he's like right there. He's just so close. He just needs one thing. And that thing with The Rock might have been it. You are an asshole. That could be his thing.
You know where that?
That could be his new thing.
You know where the first start of that?
Penn State.
And you were there.
Yeah, it was. That's right. We were there.
First draft ever.
That first draft.
Man.
Yeah,
Austin made him say it.
Yeah,
I remember Austin called him.
Yeah, because they're doing instead of "we are Penn State," you are an asshole, and Bryce Jordan. That's where it was, and so the Rock's back ish. I mean, who knows? He's just there for the show. Probably not really back, but it does seem like with a strike, there could be a play. It's back. At least it's back in my head because I had given up on Rock. I'd given up on Rock Roman at Mania. I thought it was bullshit they didn't do it last year. I thought it was a huge mistake. And I still do because the bloodline's cooled off from since then, where I think if they'd have done the Rock this year, it could be still red hot. So nonetheless, though, could we see him in WrestleMania 40? It's possible, I think.
I tell you, we might have put too much in it being in L.A. You
know, we did, Hollywood probably. Connection.
Philadelphia is a real hotbed. It's closer to Europe. It's an easy travel from across the seas.
That's the Rock's family. All the Samoans in Allentown. You got to remember that. That's where... That's their bread, and that's where the Rock grew up, right? So, think of that. No one puts that thought into the bloodline.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
And the bloodline's a long term storytelling. That's one thing people hate.
And I like the long term storytelling.
WWE can never do it. Oh my gosh, they can't tell a story.
Right.
They're doing it.
But now they are now. But you know, when you they're suffering now because Roman's taking like 2 months straight off. Like you can't. That hurts. Like Jay's doing great. Jimmy's getting better. Being on his own, but he's not there yet. Solo doesn't talk, so that really limits what he can get out of him. You know, he does his role good, but the heat you get from Roman obviously is not there right now. So they're trying to get through this time, but it's tough. But yeah, I mean, I think at least him coming Friday puts it back in play.
Plants a seed.
Well, yeah, the seed's there. I would have liked, and there was a little moment in that show I read about that I didn't really pay attention to at the time, was whenever Solo said, I know what I got to do, and Heyman said, who gave that order? The meaning that it wasn't Roman that gave that order, and The Rock was there. Like, did The Rock give the order for him to go out there and confront Cena? You know what I'm saying?
And because Rikishi did it for The Rock.
Because I'm thinking this. Here's what. Then this. Like, I heard this on a podcast too, and it, like that. And then they didn't say this, but I think could you possibly see heel Rock with Roman, Jimmy and Solo in like the Survivor Series War Games?
That's like those guys. Hogan turning moment. Right,
if you could get War Games, Roman, Jimmy, Solo, and Rome, and yeah, and
crazy. I was actually thinking
Rock, and then you get Cody, Jay, Sammy, KO, War Games. And that's what I would do.
I don't think Rock's doing a War Games.
I don't think Rock's doing War Games either. But if you could get him to as a heel, it would be fucking amazing. And right is where it turns, him and Roman, then it starts to go the other way.
Well, I don't know why I was thinking this. Actually, probably just this past week. Because the same thing, I was thinking, how can they need a new NWO. You need someone to come in and make that turn. How could that ever happen? You just explained it.
Yeah.
But other side of that, there's a mystery partner, right? The Rock joins against the Bloodline. And all of a sudden he comes in and hits a rock bottom on whoever.
And you could do it that way too. You could do it that way too for sure. Yeah. I would like it. I would like it. I would like Rock being with the Bloodline in War Games against the baby faces, but at the end, Roman's like jealous of the Rock getting all this like thing. And then the Rock actually turns on Roman there. And then you go Roman versus Rock at Mania going forward.
What if, you have Endeavor now, right? As the new owners, you know, they could maybe be like a powers be, bring back the corporate.
Corporate Rock, yeah.
Corporate ministry.
Corporate ministry is fantastic. One of my favorites. I love the Ministry of Darkness. But yeah, so I don't know. It just opens up some things. But as of right now on the product, you know, you're getting some different stuff too. Obviously, we talked about it last week on Tuesday, how good we thought Becky and Tiffany was going to be for the NXT Women's title.
Why are you skipping over Cena?
I'll get back to it. We're good. We're bouncing around. Yeah. But I'm saying you had Becky, Tiffany last Tuesday at NXT. This is an NXT show, Donnie. We're off SmackDown now. We're on to NXT. NXT is the main event. But I think that match over-delivered even what I expected, because I obviously have been on Tiffany's train from day one. I think she's a future superstar. It was proven last week in the loss to Becky. Becky winning the belt very interesting. Gives you a little bit of goose there. And then what are they going to do? How are they going to get off her? She's going to have open challenges. It seems last on Monday she had the open challenge with a big womp womp Natalia coming out there. Natty coming out there when she said, I want someone new. I want to give someone new an opportunity.
Oh, you're
and fucking Natty comes out. And it's like, I mean, I get it because it's like that's exactly what Natty would do. And it's kind of annoying. And that's like how she is now. But I really wanted it to be someone interesting. You know what I mean? I didn't think it was going to be anything big like Jade Cargill, but I thought it was going to be.
It will be a couple open challenges.
Right, exactly. But that one, I didn't want it to be Natty. I was hoping it'd be like Tegan Knox or something. You know what I mean? Like something, someone that you could like give a little rub that hasn't been on TV in forever, whatever. But anyway, yeah, the match itself, Tiffany, Becky, how good was that, Mike?
Very good. Very good. You know, yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest Becky fan in the world, but she is consummate professional.
Yeah, she's very good.
She's very good in the ring. You know, you're always going to get 100 from her no matter what.
Yeah.
Stratton, obviously, is highly thought of in the company, in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
She's by far the star of that division, has been carrying it for quite a while right now. So, yeah, like you said, over-delivered. I don't think I had that high of expectations, but it was a very good match. Yeah, NXT just keeps delivering, man. Look at across the roster, just a lot of interesting things happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Braun, Vaughn, Wesley, Ilya, Trick, Mello, things still going on.
Yeah.
You got some women up and coming. You know, just love NXT every Sean, week.
Yeah, HBK is killing it. I just think, I don't know. I think the way this is all happening, Tiffany might not be long for NXT. I feel like she's like going to get called up like right now, so, maybe.
Yeah.
Like she might be like not ever getting another shot at that belt. Or if she does, I don't know. I think I originally thought they would just do Becky, Tiffany again at No Mercy on the 30th. Like, so they get the PLE and they get Becky on the PLE. But I would only do that if you're going to have Tiffany win it back, you know, and I don't know that they're going to have Tiffany win it back. I feel like they might be moving forward. So, could we see somebody else emerge tonight as a challenger to Becky? And then are they going to do an open challenge every week? But No Mercy seems like the point where is Becky going to win at No Mercy and stay in NXT, keep carrying that belt, or is she going to drop it to someone they want to lift up at No Mercy?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, these titles being carried by the main roster.
How do you feel about it?
Yeah.
Personally,
I think it's great.
How do you think Becky Lynch feels right now to say, you know what? I now have to compete in front of 250
I think
people.
They probably gives them a little vacation, honestly.
Yeah.
Stay in Orlando for a while.
I think they like it, too.
I think it means a lot to them because they came up and she never won
Becky
that title.
Obviously wanted a grand slam, but also if Becky didn't want to do this, she just wouldn't be doing it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's not true.
I think they
have to do with it.
I don't think there's any way they would tell Becky with the way her and Seth travel with the baby and the bus and everything. I don't think there's any way they would tell her, like, you have to go work NXT. I think they would come together on it. I think she probably would be like, yeah, I'll go work NXT if you want me to. I feel like that's what she would do. But I don't think they would be like, you have to work NXT. Not to her. You know what I mean? To Baron Corbin? Yeah. Like to Apollo Crews? Yeah.
I mean, I think Corbin would probably love it.
I think Corbin likes it.
I think it's a break for
him. It's a break, and it does give you a chance.
They're still on TV. They're still
They get the same pay and all that shit. And honestly, I think they do. Like, Becky definitely, to me, thinks of it as an opportunity to help the next crew. So that's what she does. And I think Corbin saw it legitimately as a he kind of has an influx point in his career. Like, he needs to do something to freshen up his career. It's like, I mean, he'll always be solid and like in the middle, but if he wants to get one more chance at being like at the top of the card, he has to do something.
I don't think he's done that.
I don't think he has either. I agree with you, but that's why he went there. I think it's worked.
He has potential myself.
I do too. He's a great wrestler. I love him in ring. I mean, I love Corbin in ring, and I love his adaptability to whatever they gave him. He has done it all to the best of his ability every time, even the terrible gimmicks and all that shit. But I don't think he really is next level. He's just like a good mid-card hand.
Yeah, comedy guy if you need him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you've seen both ends of the spectrum, from serious lone wolf to happy.
And I tell you what, I think we're a good place if they really wanted to build a great – he would fit in Judgment Day really well. in my opinion.
Oh, he would.
He would fit in Judgment Day real well.
Out of him.
Like they do. Yeah, like, you know, he could go back to a little bit more lone wolfish, just a dark. Honestly, he'd fit in there really well.
I might have missed this. Did they let JD in Judgment Day?
He's not officially in. No, he's just Finn's boy still. But he's in there. He's like helping out, like trying to get in.
Can you guys talk about the Cody comment? I don't know if you ever hear that about saying in bobblehead.
Oh yeah. He does. He's a freaking Funko Pop.
You notice they've been giving him collared shirts to wear to help reduce some of that. So you know they got.
Honestly, it's unfortunate for him because he actually is really good. But like his build is dumb. Like, you know, he's just so small, and then he does have the biggest head. It's honestly probably costing him like a bigger career.
Well, that creeper gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like that, yeah.
That gimmick he had in NXT didn't help.
That gimmick stunk. It was bad. But I'm saying he can wrestle. I mean, that's for sure. He can wrestle. But I don't know. This is working, I think. Like, him just trying to tag along, and they're like, and then he like made that briefcase for Damian, which is like cool. He helps Finn. Like, if he helps Mommy, then he's like kind of in. So yeah, it's not bad. I don't hate it. But I think Corbin would fit great in Judgment Day. And that would be a good restart for him. But I don't think they're trying to build a big, huge... Like, they like these four, I think.
I think he should have made that briefcase with, like, some body parts, like some ears or earlobes or something hanging off of it from his lab. Like,
I heard an idea of that. What if that briefcase he gave him doesn't have the contract, has like a fake contract in there, and he still has a briefcase with the real contract. With Finn has the real contract. That's an interesting idea if they did that.
He said, oh, take it. It's all
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And he just never looked in it.
Yeah.
Never opened it.
Right. Right.
He goes to cash in, and it's empty.
It's empty, yeah.
They actually open it for once.
Yeah, like the rest of decide to open
actually,
it.
Yeah. I get to sign this contract? Yeah. Holy shit.
That fucking briefcase is the funniest. It's the worst the way they cash it in. I like how they let EO cash it immediately this last time while Bianca was hurt. Remember, I know you guys remember, but for every time until that time, the last like 5 years, you have to like give it to them. Then you have to wait for them to like get ready, and then they ring the bell. Yeah, like they have to like wait till they get ready, the other person. When it was all originally, you just like, you did it because they were hurt. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
and the ref, they just started.
Yeah, and they let EO do it this time to Bianca when she was still on the ground. They didn't make her get back up, which that's great because that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. So, you're right. Yeah, I actually missed Raw last night, so I'm not prepared to talk about Raw. But
I mean, there was some stuff. Naya's back. She's back again.
Speaking of which, she's related to the Bloodline.
Yeah.
Isn't she?
Yeah. Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, she also likes purple and black, so maybe she could be in that Judgment Day.
Yeah.
But she's wreaking havoc on the women's division, just cleaning them out.
Yeah, she took out,
Stark, Shayna Baszler, and the tag champs. She took out Piper and what's her name, too?
Yeah, you can't take everyone out.
She took them all out. She said, nobody's here. There's no. She took out Rhea last week and Raquel.
Rhea's been dominant, so how are you going to bring her in as a heel even? Because the crowd is not cheering her.
Well, the crowd loves Rhea, so they'll boo. They'll treat Nia as the heel, and then Rhea will just beat her. But till she beats her, she's going to beat her.
Because Rhea has that hurt knee, so they're going to build up.
Maybe, yeah. I think Rhea or Nia is just going to dominate everyone until Rhea, and then just get beat, kind of like old like Kane booking, where Kane just, oh my god, this guy's unstoppable for like 6 weeks, and then he'd immediately lose every time.
World's strongest man, Mark Henry.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy's unstoppable. And that's, I mean, it's interesting booking, but that's what they do with those. I think that's what Nia will be.
What else do you do with her?
Right,
it's
exactly.
It's different to see in the women's, because we're so used to see it with men. So I guess.
Right. I think
She's a big show.
Exactly. Right. But I like it if they have her just beat everyone. The only problem I'll have with it is if they like have her win one and then like someone like upsets her, like in the, you know, that kind of stupid shit. When they do that, it's stupid. She needs to like beat everyone soundly till she gets Rhea. Then you're like, okay, because they don't do that with Raquel. You know what I mean? They needed to make Raquel beat the shit out of everybody for like 5 weeks in a row, and you're like, oh, she could beat Rhea, but they don't ever do that. They have her like win a match and then like get DQ'd or like stupid shit like that. They need to let Nia just smash four or five women in a row like they did last night. I mean, she crushed them women, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see Cargill in the mix.
That's obviously the other big news we should probably just mention quickly is Cargill. Jade Cargill reportedly in, you know, at the Performance Center this week. She's with WWE, done with AEW. Word is she's going straight up.
Where'd you hear this one?
Dirt sheets.
Yeah, the laundry room.
Dirt
sheets. The laundry room, my favorite.
Good job, man.
That's legit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so it's, I mean, this is official, so it's not really even the dirts, you know. It's been reported at this point as official, but it is interesting because the rumor is she's going straight to the top, which I understand because of her, you know, character and kind of her stature, but I don't think wrestling-wise she's at that level.
Not ready.
Yeah, she's not at that level, obviously. So there's two ways you could do it. I thought an interesting way would be to just have her on Raw and SmackDown, but not wrestling matches, but then at the Performance Center through the week, not on TV, but work.
Her in the crowd,
but like, you put her, put her in the crowd, or like have her come out with Lashley and the Profits. Seems to fit perfectly to me. And then she just is not doing anything. Brown? No, that's not why. I mean, that's part of the reason for sure. But the reason is like the way she always carries herself as like a confident, like well-dressed person is what they're carrying themselves as. So you don't have to be black to be that, but it does help. And in this situation, because it makes it look, you know, aesthetically better, I guess, but whatever. She's like a perfect fit, big, imposing, sharp dressed.
Yes. People that are alike hang out together. Exactly. It's completely normal to say.
You put her in there, and then I just think you got her not having any matches but beating up some people when she needs to, hitting people, whatever. Move here, maybe, whatever. Jaded once in a while to someone. But then, you know, over time, she starts to get a little bit touchy-feely with the members, particularly Montez Ford. Okay. You know what I mean? They get a little bit close to her Montezer. She helps Montez. He helps her. Blah, blah, blah.
It is his type, right?
And then you go, and then you're like, next thing you know,
athletic.
Who's back? Bianca's back. And Bianca Jade is her first match, first feud. But
I give her a lot of time
at the Performance Center, a couple months or something, where you're working with their style. And then, you know, her and Bianca will be a power match. I think she can pull that off.
Sounds like you might have booked a show.
That's exactly how I would do it, Len. Straight to the top. Skip NXT. Just have her hang out for a couple months. Maybe get her in the ring around Rumble.
And then, of course, the other option would be, and now that this is happening, Becky issues an open challenge on Raw, and Jade answers it, beats Becky decisively, and then she's the NXT champion, and then she goes to NXT for a couple months.
Kevin Owens, John Cena.
I mean, the big question is, what is her name going to be when she debuts?
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
It's not going to be Jade Cargill, right?
I don't know. Is that her name? I don't know. I mean,
she's married to Brandon Phillips, so her name should be Jade Phillips.
Well, right? She is, but she doesn't have to take his last name, Mike. This isn't the 1800s.
Oh, fuck. Excuse me.
He was a hyphen.
I wasn't a hyphen. She was a hyphen, my wife. I wasn't a hyphen.
Big Dash Anderson.
Yeah, but I do think I think that would be interesting if she just won the NXT title and then could work NXT a little bit, but also be on Raw, like kind of like Becky is now, something like that. So I always like a good open challenge that's answered by. So I don't know for like her. It seems like those people have those their own names. Like they don't trademark them like WWE does, I don't think. Now, some of the newer stuff, I'm sure, like the Acclaimed, they probably own stuff like that. But like Jade Cargill is probably
her name, honestly. Look it up. I mean, I think she's a cheerleader. Well, I know she was a cheerleader, right? Professional.
I don't know.
NBA or
something. She was a bodybuilder for sure.
NBA cheerleader.
I don't know. But anyway, she,
basketball player, maybe?
It appears.
She played basketball, I think, in college. I think.
It appears that's her real name.
Yeah.
WWE still might give her a new name, though.
Oh, absolutely. They might give
just
her.
Just so they can trademark
something. Yeah, they absolutely probably will. They probably will give her her own name. Yeah. It would probably be like
something off of Jade.
It might just be Jade, maybe. You know what I mean? It could just be
Princess Jade may have a saying.
Could
that.
Be just Jade. Could you got Cora Jade in the fucking wings too?
I don't think you can name her Jade, right? Because of the Mortal Kombat. Probably owns that trademark, I would imagine.
Yeah, it could be. They could just spell it different.
J-A-Y.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was trained by Dustin Rhodes.
Dustin, that's a good trainer.
Heath Slater, QT Marshall.
I think they just rushed her onto TV, personally. Heath like, Slater. She's not terrible, but she's rushed. You can tell she was rushed.
Only 5'10". She seems like she was 6 foot.
Really?
Yeah.
She wore heels all the time. Yeah. She had heels on all the time.
Yeah.
When she wasn't wrestling.
She's only 31, too. I thought she might maybe a little bit.
She's older. Imposing. I mean, she's a gold mine. I think she could be a gold mine for WWE. 31? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have put her closer to 40, actually.
Really? But,
yeah.
She's younger.
Brandon Phillips got to be 40 years old, right?
I guess since he's married. Yeah. Well, then what's her pre-career? What'd she do?
she was at a tryout before with WWE.
I think she was a bodybuilder, I believe, is what she was.
Jacksonville University.
She played basketball there.
Social science,
I believe.
Yeah, she played basketball there. Was named Atlantic Sun preseason first team.
Oh,
senior year preseason.
Well, that's good. That's good. I mean, she probably didn't live up to it. Doesn't sound like, but
that's a Chris Clack type.
yeah, Chris Clack. Chris Clack. Yeah, preseason. All rookie team or something, probably all newcomer or something.
Clack, you're a Hall of Famer in art.
I think Clack was actually won the play a PSAC newcomer of the week once, or PSAC maybe even player of the week when he had a game winner against IUP, and he won like something player of the week, PSAC something. It might have been PSAC newcomer or something when he was a freshman. Clack's a Hall of Famer. We're giving him a hard time at the football game. But, I mean, like I said there, and this is true, it's borderline. It's not like, he's not like these, there's only four players in, like the best four players ever. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not one of those guys. He's not better than Hooten or Corey Hand or Valansky or Jude Fingsler.
I think he's better than Hooten.
No, he's not. Yeah. He's not better than Chris.
In high school.
I don't think he was better after high school.
I think that Chris had a lot more around him, so he had to play.
He was a true point guard. Yeah, exactly. He wasn't trying to score.
No one else could play like on that team. Again, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, I think Hooten was a better high school player.
Sean Hoover, maybe. Like, who else could score other than
Hooten? Well, they had Goodman was a good player. Scholes played good. That team was.
They're all scrappers.
Yeah,
they
but
scorers. But Clack had with like Nelson and Gumby.
Yeah, he had Gumby and Jude. Yeah, and that's you're right. Chris was a pure point guard for sure. And he was a better pure point guard than Nick always. And he's a better their whole lives up until. Like 3 years ago, I would say Chris is a better player. But Hooten's actually still really fucking good now. And Chris is like real washed, but he still can shoot, but he can't move very well anymore. You know, his knees are bad.
Now that I know that anybody can just nominate someone.
Yeah.
Well, then
nominate him.
We got to start a campaign here.
I told Marielle said she was going to nominate him. Chris has my vote 100%. He's the man. He's my favorite teammate ever. I've never played with anyone I'd rather play with than Chris ever in my life.
Basketball has to be around the area.
But I still don't think Chris deserved in the Hall of Fame before the 4,000 point scorers in school history. They should be in before him. I mean, that's like the only stat you can really count in high school.
Total points? Does he know?
He doesn't know. But I'm gonna say it's probably in the 600s. So probably because he didn't play at all his freshman year, zero. You know what I mean? So sophomore, junior, and he wasn't a scorer.
Yeah. So Nick did play as a freshman. So
yeah, I bet Chris probably scored like. Less than 200 points is for his sophomore year for sure because he's just out there like handle, you know. Yeah. But no, it's more than that because Chris was a great player. He's a great player, obviously played Division II basketball and he's the man. But Hooten was great too. Both greats. All the people that are in the greats, Chris will get in. Freaking some of these guys, it's like Bob Maeda didn't get in until just like a few years ago, and he's like one of the best athletes the school's ever seen. So, you know, it's tough, interesting.
Tough getting.
It just started. They're just getting their feet under them there at the DHS Hall of Fame. But loyal DuBois, loyal sons are we. We'll get Chris in
there. Well, as journalists, I think we should have the power to influence that decision-making process, I would say, right?
Yeah. You know what you could do, Mike, is you could write an article on livingroomchamps.com about how Chris deserves to be in the DHS Hall of Fame. Put it up there with that Big Ben story. Is that story done? That Big Ben story?
It's still in the works. The story is writing itself as time goes on, right? I'm going to have to go pour through some microfiche to find some articles.
I'll tell you, man, I forgot about livingroomchamps.com. We haven't used it to its fullest capability.
I just re-upped it for 3 years. So, I mean, it's there. Wait.
3-year plan, right?
I should write a.
You should. You're the real journalist here. I'm sick of looking at computers by the end of the day.
Why can't we use this as the official recap for Imagine Wrestling?
You could. We could be the official podcast when we knew somebody there.
We can do whatever, really. But
I'll sell out to Imagine Wrestling instantly. Give me a paycheck.
Yeah, I would too.
Free tickets to a show or something for crying out.
I said you could do a live podcast from.
Give us anywhere. A link on the website for Christ's sake.
Yeah, we thought about the live thing, but it just seems it'd be difficult to pull off just because there's some people and it's just, you know what I'm saying? But I did think we should go sometime to a show and go early and like interview a couple of the wrestlers and like record it. We could do that, right? And then like play it, like, you know what I mean? We could probably do that at some point. That would be a good idea.
We interviewed
because Kato, those Kato. Guys would let us talk. Yeah, they'd let us like talk to them there at the place. We could talk to a few different guys and just like
talk to that old referee. You know,
do it sometimes.
The old wrestling referee that's at the shows.
Richie Allen.
Yeah, talk to him.
Richie Allen don't go to Imagine, but we'll get Richie Allen unless it's in DuBois, pretty much, or Reynolds Hill. What's the status of that, Donnie?
Speaking of which,
updates?
Good point. Hopefully, February.
February for Reynoldsville. Yeah.
It's a long ways away.
Never found anything in DuBois yet.
Do we need to talk about the YMCA? We'll do that in another episode.
We can talk about whatever,
No, nothing yet.
No.
It's pricey around here. Anybody listening out there, if you can get us a building, man, and it's not $1,000 to rent.
Yeah, I imagine they brought it to the community days, obviously. Everyone saw it. There's tons of people there. Anybody that's listening to this, if you know of a building, you need something like a gymnasium-esque, you know, building that would, you know, give Imagine a little bit of a price break. Champs.
Not even that. I mean, we'll take the price break because we'll take it.
Right, but even a place. No,
but a place is right now what we need is a damn building.
A building, yeah.
YMCA, bad. The number one profit in the United States, number one nonprofit organization, but they weren't making enough profit from us to book a show there. So we'll just make a note of that.
Yeah. So YMCA didn't come through. There's a couple other options, but it just didn't work. But
Bellamoro
is awesome. Now, the Bellamoro could host a show every 3 months and I'd be pumped. I mean, the Bellamoro is no problem to get down there. It's a great venue. The fans have been pretty good there. I think we've been getting a decent number there. And you know, I just hate to see not be able to capitalize on the buzz from the summer shows. You know, I wish we could have got something up here like closer because there was a lot of new people, I think, created there, new fans potentially if we could have got a show up there for Imagine. I know you
churches,
did.
Churches, man.
Yeah, I know you put in the effort. It's always been hard. That's why there's never been shows up here ever.
What about that old skating rink downtown?
What old skating rink down?
Wasn't there an old skating rink up from the?
Oh, that's the old Eagles. That's Beatty's gym. Yeah, that's there. Beatty's gym. That's Beatty's gym. But he doesn't have. They don't have like a space except for like where the boxing ring is, right?
Oh, except for where the ring's at.
Yeah, that's all.
That's. But you can't use a boxing ring. You know what I mean? It's like a different ring. So
put new ropes on it. It's four posts is all you need, right?
It's a different ring, man. Set up differently. So. I don't know, man. Hopefully we'll get someone to do this. But Bellamoro in February, that's fine. If that's how long we have to wait, that stinks, though.
I haven't tried to get it sooner, but yeah. Whatever we can do.
Yeah.
I'll send the message right now, actually.
Yeah, it's good. But anyway, yeah, that's Imagine Update. Imagine, though, every Wednesday on Facebook, on their YouTube page, you can watch Imagine Live. They usually have a couple matches. They'll have, a recap of the previous shows. If there's, a show the previous Saturday, they do a bunch of interviews on there. They do a great job with Imagine Live. So Cato's on there usually, and he has someone else with him. I don't know. I think is it rotate a little bit, Donnie, who's on there with him? Or
actually, right now, 16. Mike Zeke just took over the new hosting duty.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, the coach is the...
So Zeke and Coach?
Zeke and Coach right now, yeah.
Oh, Cato's taking them, going behind us, behind the scenes.
This past week, I'm not sure.
Not sure if it's permanent, but
yeah,
Coach is funny on there. They've had other people, Big Laddie and Jimmy. I've seen some different people on there. But anyway, it's a free show every Wednesday, and it's a legit hour wrestling show that's entertaining and fun to watch. So if you can't get down to their shows, that's a good way to follow them, like them on YouTube, all that stuff. I do watch a lot of the shows on Wednesdays.
Yeah, every Wednesday live, it's good, and it's longest, DC would say, longest episodic running wrestling show on YouTube history.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
And it'll say it's never true. But
yeah.
Okay. We're the longest running podcast in DuBois history.
That's right. We have to be. I refuse to take it. We'd add more episodes than anyone else for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Well, we're just getting started, Mike. That's what people don't understand. We're just getting started.
We're just finding this
first couple of years has just been like a little bit of a runway, but we're about to take off. It's coming soon. Might start. Maybe I'll write an article on livingroomchamps.com about, I was thinking about today, I read an article about Wrestlers, the show on Netflix, the series about Ohio Valley wrestling, and Al Snow runs that there. And I can't recommend highly enough Wrestlers on Netflix, 7 episodes. Really interesting. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, you'll like it. But if you are a wrestling fan like us, it's a must see. Real cool backstage stuff, some characters. Really good show. And Time Magazine wrote a piece on it today, and it was very good. And I hope they come back for season 2. Remind me a lot of Last Chance U, those shows they did on there that I was a big fan of as well.
I need to get into that. It sounds good.
Yeah, you'll love it, Mike. It's good. There's some characters on there.
Yeah, very good. Well, boys, we've been going quite a while here. Yeah. Any final thoughts before we depart on week 3 in the NFL or wrestling?
Thanks for having me, guys.
As always, Don.
Donnie, Mike's been having something in the cooker here. We've been talking about. We're gonna have a show with us three and Debo all get on here. Mm-hmm. Just a wrestling, not a football show. It'll be a full wrestling show. Cool. And we're gonna do a little bit of a tell him, Mike, what are you doing?
What I'm doing is I'm programming an app, okay, and what it does is randomize wrestlers, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I plug guys into my app here, run it through, the code, if you will, and it spits out a wrestler that I've put into the database.
One of the wrestlers will be spit out at random.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be assigned. I think we're going to do 2 each.
Okay.
Assigned.
Fantasy wrestling.
They can come from, it's going to be WWE only. Okay.
Yeah.
SmackDown, Raw, NXT. You get 2. Okay. You got to take them home with you. You get a chance to percolate a little
bit. Okay.
And then we're coming back in the living room. And you got to re-gimmick them.
Re-gimmick them.
I'm not putting in Roman Reigns. I'm not putting in John Cena. None of these guys are going to change. Cody.
Yeah.
That's a fool's errand. Right?
People that need a repackaging could benefit from a repackaging of some sort.
Matt Riddles of the world. Okay, guys who've grown a little bit stale.
Yeah, sure. People like Madcap Moss could be in there.
Sure.
Where's Matt?
You can put people in there. Even Ciampa, I think, is a feasible one.
Gargano's been gone.
Yep. So you gotta bring your proposal for how you would repackage them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the show.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, it'll be a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm actually excited for that.
We just got to get on a schedule. The programming's pretty much done.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for that one. I think that'll be a lot of fun. And I love repackaging people. I love booking the territory. That's what you do. I mean, that's what we do. If you're a wrestling fan, you try to figure out what's best, what they should do.
Can you figure this out in the long term? Can you keep our character and then
We do some matches, some like fantasy matches. Can you figure that
out? I mean, this program is only designed to randomize and produce wrestlers. I haven't built any simulation engine in it. Yeah.
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 That's all right, though. Yeah. I think we'll be.
On that, Mike.
Yeah.
Working on
Mike's always working on that.
Is there a fantasy wrestling?
There is
out there.
There's you know, like game, fantasy booking. That's where Tony Khan got his start, actually, booking one of those e-feds. And,
yeah,
and you know, you book your shows. And,
is that for real?
No, it's for real. If it's a thing,
I mean, I know there's e-feds on your games, like you can download.
I mean, yeah, there's like a software, you know, I ever played like Out of the Park Baseball. This great game for people who love statistics and transactions, incredibly detailed. Or it's the same thing for wrestling. There has been for decades.
Hmm.
It's always been around. Yeah, but we're not doing that. We're just asking you to come up with your ideas. We'll write them down if you want. We can look back on it.
Right. We'll keep a record. I mean, there will be a living record. The podcast will be a living record. So
yeah.
But yeah, we'll. I think it's a good plan. It'll be fun.
More for shock value and discussion points. You know, just to flex your creative muscles. You're good.
If you're trying to do a fantasy league for wrestling, that's all.
You're good at that. I mean, it's hard. It's hard, you know, to do that fantasy with wrestling because it's
fantasy.
It's great.
It's all fantasy.
But it's crazy they can do gambling somehow with it.
Well, you can't, right?
They can't really. There's not really gambling.
The odds are so crazy. They're no just, one's going to bet.
Yeah, like there's not really gambling on it.
Just to get you hooked in the concept and then get you betting on real sports.
Yeah.
For, you know.
But that's gonna be that'll be a fun exercise. We'll get that set up at some point. Yeah.
We'll do a sofa. We'll do a sofa with us four. We'll do it. Come back, you know, a couple weeks later with your ideas and have another show.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, maybe around Survivor Series. I think would be a good time. Maybe we'll do one pre-Survivor Series. Come back, recap Survivor Series, and do the ideas after Survivor Series.
Yeah, sounds like
good,
a plan.
It's good lull, you know, and when you get into the doldrums of winter, I think would be a good time to sit down.
Yeah, probably no pay-per-view in December. There was no PLE. There wasn't last year, and they go a whole way from Survivor Series to Royal Rumble without a pay-per-view.
Probably will be a free Imagine Wrestling show for $10 tickets in December usually. So.
Christmas special.
Yeah, every ticket $10.
All right, ho ho ho! All right, guys. Well, good having you on.
Yes, sir.
For Len. For Don Dawson, this is Mr. Just Right. Thanks for joining us on week 3. And we'll see you for week 4 next week. Champs are out.
Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game. We be MVP. Knowledge is power. Lend an ear for the next hour. And tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. Be the best.